Let's stand in reverence to the Word of God if you're able. Psalm 78. Read a few verses and say a few things from the chapter that's in our heart today. Summation of Asaph. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. It might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and a rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. If correctly read, that's Psalm 78, verse 1 through 8. With the help of my Lord, I'd like to preach this morning for a little while on this subject, some things that we can't afford to hide from our children. Some things that we can't afford to hide from our children. The Word of God tells us that children are heritage of the Lord. I appreciate the youngins. For 10 years, God had me on the road with Rock of Ages Prison Ministry, preaching in the prisons. And I had different ones ask me, do you miss pastoring? Brother Rick, do you miss pastoring? They knew I had pastored since I was 29 years old, two different churches over that period of time. And I answered the question like this. I said, I'm going to tell you what I miss about pastoring more than anything. They said, what's that? And I said, the children. Having the children. Have the children to run up to you. Children that call you preacher. Children that call you pastor. Children that will give you a hug. Children that will pray for you in childlike faith, believing that God hears and answers prayer. Some things we can't afford to hide from our children. It's sad. I actually forgot my Bible, but I went down on Thursday evening, my wife and I, and we spent the day with one of our grandchildren at Dollywood on Friday. And I rode some of those rides that I didn't have no business riding. Papas will do stupid things for their grandchildren, amen. And we had a great time together. But I told my wife, I said, honey, I'm gonna have to hope that they have a Bible. And I'm not saying this as a slam this morning, but I was very disappointed to find out that the Bible in the drawer was not a King James Bible. You say, what'd you do with it, preacher? I put it back in the drawer. I can't read a foreign language. I've got a Bible in front of me, amen. And so I thank God that years ago I downloaded a Bible program on my phone, and I began to pray and seek the Lord's face about the service today. And this is where the Lord led me to Psalm chapter number 78. The Bible said we will not hide them from their children. Then the Bible said that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born. There's one thing I've been amazed about with little Macy, and I thank God for this. We witnessed this with our children in the birth of those last two, Charity and Elizabeth. even when they were just newly born, the nurse in the delivery room, when I would speak, the little baby would turn its head and try to find me. And the nurse would say, they know that voice. And my wife would say to them, they ought to. They've been listening to him preach for 9 months. Amen. You say, Pastor, I don't believe that's important. I do. The first thing that God gave me in the message, if some things we can't afford to hide from our children, the first thing is the importance of hearing the Word of God. Beloved, I'm going to tell you something. Listen to me. I'm not being critical this morning. But the first thing that a lot of people are looking for when they're looking for a church as a sports program or a gymnasium or something for the young people to do along those lines. But I'm telling you, number one, for a child of God, they ought to be looking for the Word of God. The Bible said, give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. The Bible said in verse 3, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. I'm glad, thank my God, there's still some churches in the land where the Word of God is the Word of God. And the Word of God's not trying to be changed, but the Word of God is changing us. Amen. And we appreciate the power of the Word of God. The Bible said that faith cometh by hearing. Listen, if you don't want to see the young and saved, there's something wrong with you. God wants to see everybody saved. But beloved, listen, the Bible said faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. There's a lot of things being exchanged today for the Word of God, but nothing will ever get the job done like this precious old book, this old black book that we call the Bible. We need to know. We can't hide from our children the importance of the Word of God. Beloved, I'll tell you one thing. They'll know if it's important to you or not, because it'll be something you read in their presence, or it'll be some place to park a cup of coffee. And I'm going to tell you something right now. That ought to be more than a place to park a cup of coffee. Amen. It ought to be more than a book that lays in the windshield and gets the sun through the week. It ought to be a book, beloved, that's alive and well and leading us in this walk of life. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And when we raise our children, not hiding the Word of God from them, their hearing will be, beloved, inclined towards the law of God. I appreciate that, don't you? The second thing I see in the message today, we can't afford to hide from our children, not only the hearing of the Word of God, but we must not hide our hope in God. The Bible said in verse number 7 that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. I'm telling you this morning, beloved, if you're teaching your children to put their hope in the pastor, it's in the wrong place. If you're teaching your children to put their hope in the baptistry, it's in the wrong place. If you're teaching your children to put their hope in their church membership, it's in the wrong place. But I tell you, we ought to be teaching our children and not hiding from them, beloved, that our hope is in God. And the blessed hope of the born-again believer is that Jesus will come and take us out of this world to our real home. This world is not our home. We're just a passing through. The Bible said that they might set their hope in God. Why? Because He's established a testimony. He's appointed a law. He's commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children. The Word of God said here, beloved, listen, when we have our hope in God, it's going to be evident. You see in verse number 4, you say, Pastor, if your hope's in God, what's there going to be? Number 1, there's going to be the praises of the Lord. Do you see that right there? I'm telling you, a mommy or a daddy that's ashamed to praise the Lord, there's something wrong with them. Amen. I can remember, Brother John, you've probably never heard me tell this, but those years I was on the road with Rock of Ages, we started out with nothing. I left the church. There was no salary. There was no insurance. There was no job. You say, Pastor, you started with nothing. Well, let me rephrase this. I launched out with Jesus. And when you launch out with Jesus, beloved, obeying Him, you're launching
watching out with everything that you need. Amen. And I tell you, we'd go to church after church after church, and I'd give the children the love offering in the back and let them count it. Somebody say, why did you do that, Pastor? I tell you why. I wanted them to know who was feeding us. I wanted them to know who was paying the electric bill. I wanted them to know who was putting gas in the vehicle. I wanted them to know you can put your hope in God, because God will never let you down. Amen. It may look like, beloved, there's no way to take that end and make them meet. But if you've got a God in your heart in the middle of it all, He can reach out yonder and reach out yonder and bring them together every time for His honor and for His glory. The praises of the Lord, His strength. When I read that this week, you know what? Sometimes, listen to me. I'm not being critical of my brother. My brother got saved later in life. I saw my brother one time. He was a military man. And I saw my brother grab one of his boys and pin him to the wall by his collar and say, dry it up, boy. He said, real men don't cry. And his son was just a boy, I don't know, maybe 10 or 12 years old. Boy, it bothered me, but you know you're not supposed to put your nose in some places, amen. I've got a brother, you might have got it broke, Brother Preston, amen, if you stuck your nose where it didn't belong. But it bothered me. But later on in life, beloved, listen to me. There was my brother. He called me on the phone one night. He had been in a revival meeting, and he was a slobbering all over the phone on the other end. There was snot going everywhere. He said, Jesus, save me tonight, Rick. Jesus, save me tonight. You know what he found out? Real men can cry. And the Word of God talking about His strength, God spoke to my heart. Brother Larry, we don't need to teach our children. Just be strong and you'll never need anything but your strength. We need to teach them that His strength is made perfect in our weakness. It's all right every once in a while not to know what to do or not to know which way to turn. But just know that you can put your hope in God. And beloved, know that He is the answer to everything that we need. The Word of God said His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. Our children need to be taught about Calvary. They need to be taught about an empty tomb. They need to be taught, beloved, listen, from the Word of God about the only way to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Some things we can't afford to hide from our children. We can't afford to hide from our children their hearing of the Word of God, their hope, beloved, and that their hope must be in God. And then we can't afford to hide from our children that they must have a heart for God. Beloved, listen, so many times I made this mistake raising children. Maybe you never did, but so many times I was so concerned with the impression and with the externals. I'm going to tell you something, beloved. Listen to me. If you get a heart that's right, the rest of it will take care of itself. And beloved, listen, if you're pressing to get it right on the outside and it's not right on the inside, it'll never be right. Amen. But the Word of God said here, look in verse number 8, that they might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and a rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. In verse 37, the Bible said, for their heart was not right with Him, neither were they steadfast in His covenant. I used to teach my children when we first started out, you know, Daddy will find out. And Daddy will find out. And God would let me know many times in many different ways when they were in the wrong path. But I tell you, you'd be wise to teach your children, Daddy don't have to find out. God already knows. You don't need to be worried so much about what Daddy knows. But there's a Father in heaven that loves you, son. There's a Father in heaven that loves you and is watching and listening and knows what's going on in your life. And teach them to fear God, that their heart might be right with God. Beloved, I believe we need to teach them about their heart and the importance of their heart being right with God. But I also believe we need to teach them about God's heart. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Look in verse number 38. I've already read two verses of Scripture here It said they were stubborn. There might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and a rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, whose spirit was not steadfast with God, for their heart was not right with Him. Neither were they steadfast in His covenant. Look at verse 38. You want to see God's heart? But He, hallelujah, being full of compassion, He forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not, and many a time turned He His anger away and did not stir up all of His wrath. Our children need to be taught you're going to make some mistakes along the way, but there's a God in heaven that gave His Son on an old rugged cross so that we can be forgiven. There have been times that Daddy's been forgiven, and Son, there'll be times when you're going to need to be forgiven. There's been times when Mama's been forgiven. And daughter, there's going to be times when you're going to need to be forgiven. But just know the heart of God. He's merciful. He's full of compassion. And He'll forgive you if you'll just come in a repentant spirit unto Him. Amen. Oh, beloved friend, I appreciate the heart of God. Don't you? It's a blessing to see God's heart in the Word of God. Beloved, we can't hide it from our children. The importance of their hearing, the importance of their hope, the importance of their heart. Now I'm going to give you something, beloved, this generation needs. The next thing I'm going to give you is the importance of their hands. Look what the Word of God said. The Bible said here in verse number 23, He commanded the clouds above and opened the doors of heaven. In verse 24, the Word of God said He had rained down manna upon them to eat and had given them of the corn of heaven. Man did eat angels' food. He sent them meat to the full. You say, Pastor, I don't even see the hands mentioned in that scripture. Turn back with me to Exodus chapter 16 for just a moment. Exodus chapter 16. I'm teaching something that needs to be taught in this country, beloved. Listen, God is good. He's a merciful God. And God will meet our needs. But we need to teach our children what I'm about to share with you. Exodus chapter number 16, the Word of God said in verse number 14, And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoar frost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, It is manna, for they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. Look at verse 16. This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Look at the next word, gather. You see, somebody had to have some hands to gather what God had given them. I'm going to tell you what's wrong with our country. There's too many people sitting at the house that's not willing to use their hands, and they still want to be fed. The Word of God said if a man don't work, he shouldn't eat. God fed them with bread from heaven, but they were still required to go out and gather it. I like my boy. My boy called me a couple years ago, and he said, Dad, thank you. I said, for what, son? He said, for teaching me how to work. He called me the other day and said, you ain't never going to guess what I bought. I said, what'd you buy, son? He said, I bought a push mower. He said, I've got two boys. One of them's already a teenager. One of them's fixing to be a teenager. And I said, boys, if you want some money, there's you a push mower. You're going to mow the grass. Amen. If you want some money, if you want some spending money, in other words, put them hands to work and do something. Amen. There's nothing wrong. You say, Pastor, that's torture. You can call it whatever you want to, beloved. We're raising a generation of youngins, beloved, that don't know what a callus is, amen, on their hands. And we need, beloved, some workers in the land. Some young people that'll use their hands, not just have a heart for God, but will say, God, here's my hands. Use them for your honor and for your glory. Oh, beloved friend, not only do I see their hands and the importance of their hands, but I want you to look at the importance of God's hands. I want you to see this in the Word of God. Look over with me at chapter number 78 and verse number 72. The Word of God said, So He fed them with the integrity of His heart. Oh, glory to God. But watch what the Bible said. And guided them by the skillfulness of His hands. I say this to every father in the building. I say it respectfully. Beloved, listen, we ought to guide them the best way we know how. But we ought to understand that there's somebody's guidance that even supersedes our guidance. And that's the guidance of the Lord's hands in their life. Amen. If they could ever sense God's heart and sense, beloved, if you're sitting here this morning lost without God, and you can even begin to sense the heart of God and how much He loves you and the price that He's paid that you might be forgiven of your sin, beloved, you'd run to Him. You'd say, "Oh God, have mercy on me, and may these hands spend the rest of my life for Your honor and for Your glory. And give me that heart, oh God, that I might serve You forever and forever." The Word of God said in verse 22, "Because they believed not in God and trusted not in His salvation." Beloved, there's two kinds of people in the world. Those that believe in God and trust God for salvation, and those that do not believe in God and refuse to trust Jesus for their salvation. The Bible said, "He being full of compassion forgave their iniquity. He destroyed them not many a time." Have you ever wondered, beloved, listen, why America's still on the map? I'm going to tell you why. He's full of compassion. There's no other explanation. We've spit in His face as a nation. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, we've said right's wrong and wrong is right. As a nation, I'm talking about. But there's a remnant of God's people. There's a remnant of the redeemed, the born again. So far, we've stood with Israel. And I believe those two things have kept the almighty wrath of God off of us thus far. But it ain't going to be long. And God's going to say to His youngins, "It's enough. Come on home, youngins. And we're headed out of here." Say, "Preacher, why do you have church? Why do you have children's church? Why do you have a youth group? Why do you do what you do every Sunday?" Because we want you to go with us. We're headed to the house. We want your children to go with us. Some things we can't afford to hide from our children. Beloved, the hearing of the Word of God. They heard. Incline your ears that they might put their hope in God. That they might have a heart for God. That their little hands might, beloved, realize they have a responsibility to God. And that they might understand God's heart and God's hands in this generation that we live in. How many wants God to guide you? How many mamas and papas? Mamas and papas, stand up, would you? If you're a mama or a papa, would you stand up? I'm going to tell you something right now. You know what? Sometimes I think the older we get, the more we begin to see what we should have seen earlier. Say amen. We're raising our children. You can be seated. Thank you, Mama. Moms and dads, y'all stand up, would you? Amen. Moms and dads, this is a test, Rusty. This is only a test. Had this been an actual emergency? Amen. Amen. Checking him out back there. Amen. God has given us an awesome responsibility that our children may hear the Word of God, may have a heart for God, may have hands that would be used in the service of our Lord. I want to ask a question today. The children of Israel, the Word of God said, they sin yet the more. Maybe you're here today as Brother John prayed a while ago and your heart's cold. There's a distance between you and Him. Used to be close. Used to have joy unspeakable and full of glory. And now there's a darkness, there's a distance. Can I tell you something? He never moved. Beloved, can I tell you something? He's light. He can't even be darkness. Amen. But the darkness can be expelled by the light. If you'll just draw nigh to God, the Word of God said He'll draw nigh to you. Beloved, listen, don't be content to go on in a place out of fellowship with God. You see, God knows, beloved, what we need. Amen. If you're here today and you don't know Him, beloved, you're missing the joy of life to know that your sins have been forgiven, to know that heaven will be your home, to know if you lay down tonight and you don't wake up here, you'll wake up in a much better place, to know if you get in a vehicle. Beloved, listen, surely you watch the news. This world's full of nuts. I'm telling you, my son-in-law years ago, Bob, there's a guy pulled up alongside of him at the stop sign and shot him with a .45 through the door. Some of y'all don't know that. Bob's stomach looks like that. I mean, where they've operated on him. The doctor said just that much this way or that way. You're out of here, son. You would have bled to death. And Bob wasn't saved at the time. But later, God was merciful. God let me know on a Saturday night that Bob was in trouble. I told him a story about a man getting saved in a tent meeting in Bristol. And the look on Bob's face said everything I needed to know. Later that night, my daughter called me and said, Daddy, pray for Bob. Bob, there's something wrong. I said, honey, I'm praying. Don't worry about it. He came, Sister Cindy, that Sunday morning, and he got up and he left. I just knew he was going to be saved, but he got up and he left. At 3 o'clock that Sunday afternoon, I was at the shelter. I opened the door, and there he stood, weeping like a baby. He said, I got to talk to you. I said, I know. Listen, God is still in the saving business. There's nothing more important. He's raising his children for the Lord. There's nothing more important than the Word of God. Amen. Submitting ourselves to God. The Bible said they spake against God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? You know what I want my children to know? Not can God, but God can. I'll go a step further than that. I'm going now on faith and on the authority of the Word of God. God will furnish a table in the wilderness. You say, Pastor, aren't you worried about inflation? No, I'm looking forward to extraction. Out of here. Amen. You say, Pastor, groceries are going up. Gas is going up. Insurance is going up. Everything we buy is going up. I went to the Home Depot a little while back, and I told that fella, kind of heavy-set fella, I'm just describing him. I said, sir, I said, I'm looking forward to something. He said, what are you looking forward to? I said, I'm looking forward to coming in here and getting out without spending $100. And he lit into a song. I don't even know the guy. He said, in the words of Steven Tyler, and he went into a song, Dream On, Dream On. He was on key, Brother Larry. Amen. He said, oh, that's going up. We ought to be depressed. No, we ought to be encouraged because we're going up for long, youngins. Not looking for an airplane, Sister Cindy. Looking for plain air. Amen. Looking for plain air. Going to be with Jesus. I want you to go with me. It's going to be wonderful. Place where there's no pain. I want all my children to go with me. My grandchildren to go with me. But you see, I can't be right with God and not want your children to go with me too. And not want your grandchildren to go with me as well. Let's bow for prayer this morning. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name for the privilege to look here in the Bible at some things we can't afford to hide from our children. God, I know this morning, Lord, what's really important sometimes is put on the back burner. God, I pray you'd help us as the people of God to keep the first things first, to keep the main thing the main thing. I pray, dear Lord, this morning, for those that are here that don't know you, for those that are here that have drifted, Lord, there was a time in their life when they were on fire. They couldn't wait to read their Bible and pray. Couldn't wait till it was time to go to the house of God. Lord, things have happened. They've gotten cold. God, would you rekindle that fire in their hearts today? Would you send a revival, oh God? Help us, Lord, as Sunday school teachers and pastors and preachers and deacons, help us to realize our responsibility as mothers and fathers, mammals and papals. And Lord, not hide these things from the children, but to do our dead level best, Lord, to expose them to the things of God, that our lives might be an expression of your grace, an expression of your mercy, an expression of your love. God, I pray today you'd speak to us this invitation. Help us, God, to be honest with you. Lord, we'll give you glory. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are